fantastic radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Lumbar Support, and tonight we have a very special show for you. We have actually, we are the proud recipients of the year 2000 Homie Awards for positive portrayals of homosexuality in the media, and we're very proud. We want to thank the Academy for giving us that award. I believe Lance got a special, very special trophy, and you still have the anal tears from that, but I think they're healing nicely.
Yes.
So, I'm just joking, of course. With me in the studio tonight is not only my trusty co-host Lance, but also a very special guest, Doug, with two G's, is a 30-something high-tech
man about town
who is in the process.
Have all the toys.
Who's in the process, and I guess maybe even sort of the I wouldn't say the end stages. I mean, in some sense, we are all engaging in our own process, but you are in the end stages of the so-called gay coming out process, where
even straight people like me are always in some stage of the gay coming out process.
Precisely, it all it takes is, you know, a six pack of Michelob and some,
and then a suitably greased up Hall of Fame quarterback, Brett Favre.
Well, I was going to say a balmy Pittsburgh evening, but
well, who knows? You might have parents who'd throw you out of the house just for knowing a gay man.
Really?
Well, I don't have parents like that, but yes, it's possible.
So, Doug, with two G's, it's actually very interesting that you're here, because I do want to talk to you about your process. I myself am a homosexual. I'm sorry to shock you, Lance. I know you had plans to go on that Disney cruise with me and Jenna Jameson, but the truth needs to come out. I am a homosexual, and I have myself grappled with many of these sort of coming out issues with regard to, you know, coming out to friends, coming out to family, and so on. And since you and I, Doug, two G's, have known each other for several years, both in the before time when I thought you were straight, and currently
the during time? When that
the wall, after time when, yeah. Wait. Let's not be after.
We'll remain in the moment. We'll be here now. We'll just be here keeping it real. So the first question I have is, does the extra G make you extra gay?
No, but it does make me extra sexy.
Hmm. So, Lance, now that you know about my homosexuality, it seems like you're looking at me in a totally new way. Or is it just because I'm flushed, because I'm fresh from the gym, and I have that kind of glow about me, having just worked out, and since I am an elite athlete,
And you wore one of those mesh shirts again. Well, I think there's definitely some synergy going.
This isn't a mesh shirt. This is my 3M dental services shirt.
I'm sorry, your ripped abs just stand out so cleanly through it that I thought it was mesh. But this isn't about me and my budding feelings, right? The show should be about Doug. Why don't you tell us how the process started? Did you know you were gay for a long time before you came out, or were the sort of realization and the decision to sort of come out more or less simultaneous?
Well, actually, I don't consider myself gay. I consider myself bisexual in sort of a 70-30 mix, although lately it's been zero women, but that's another story. There was always this out that I had, out, so to speak, of denying to myself that I was gay. Because
So what time period are we talking about here? Your adulthood, your teenage years, your stage?
I'm getting to that, actually. In retrospect, I knew I was gay when I was, you know, 6 or 7.
Really?
Yeah, but, I mean, I didn't know it then. Mm-hmm. I only know now that it should have been obvious. But, you know, I certainly didn't want to be gay then, and nobody else wanted anybody to be gay then, just, as far as I knew.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, what were the signs that were present when you were 6 or 7 that allow you to now know?
Oh, well, I fantasized about, you know, playing with my male friends. And,
okay, good sign.
But I just thought that was, you know, what, you know, one of those phases. Everything was a phase. That was a good excuse for anything.
Yeah, Is this a euphemism? When you say you fantasized about playing with your male friends, I mean, everyone fantasized. I mean,
I often fantasize about playing in the Stanley Cup Finals with my male friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Playing in a sexual sense.
Really?
So this is an interesting thing, and this was a great way for me to put off all my friends from ever suspecting that I was gay when I was keeping it secret. I got my first blowjob when I was 6 from the girl next door.
Sweet. How is that possible?
Which I hold as a badge of honor. But
were you able to sustain an erection?
Did you have
Infants get erections. Yeah, I was. I even had an orgasm, although nothing came out at that age.
At 6?
See, this is what we in the gambling business call a tell. This is where we've realized that your story is false. because men, and as a man, I know this, like, I didn't even, like, become, like, sexually cognizant that there was anything sexually functional about my body until, like, you know, later, like 11 or 13 or something.
This is your tell, because you just were unlucky, I think.
No, I'm with DJ Lumber support on this one. Although, I mean, it's possible that our guest Doug is a harbinger of, you know, the frightening destiny of mankind to be sexually active in the womb.
Actually, when I was young, I always wondered if fraternal twins could come out as triplets.
Boy, girl in the womb.
Interesting.
But no, it's true, and I didn't discover.
No, I think. Yes. You said you were always wondering. So.
Well, when I was a kid, I said.
I mean, had you asked the caveman if there could be a great metal bird flying through the sky at some point, he would have also answered just as decisively no.
What if you asked the caveman if there could be powerful business-to-business solutions like bowstreet.com?
I think they believed in Java, but not in its 5.9's reliability.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we digress.
Yeah, I almost forgot what I was saying. Oh, right. It wasn't that I discovered my own sexuality by myself, which I don't think would have happened, but the older boy down the street found out about blowjobs, taught the younger neighbor girl who lived
older boy, like 8?
He must have been like 9 or something.
Okay, 9.
This is just like that Star Trek episode where all the adults have died of a terrible alien virus. And the kids, it's called, is it the one and the children show? No, it's not that one. There's one, Miri, I think. They're on this planet.
Were there blowjobs involved?
If you read the credits.
Did you kill the grups in your neighborhood?
whatever they were. We didn't have any, so it must have been me. So he taught her, and then she taught me. And so, you can believe me or not. If I'm lying, it sure is a fun story, but
I only claim that you're lying because I'm powerfully overcome with a feeling of jealousy. I mean, my dorky friends were, like, playing with Legos and matches, basically.
Yeah, well, everybody else was. Anyway, so the point of mentioning that was that very soon after that happened, I started wanting to do the same thing with my boyfriend.
That's another good tell right there. Right?
Interesting.
So, but I mean, I'm curious now about the sociological... I mean, another tell that you were actually gay, not a tell that you're lying.
Oh okay.
So was there a whole, I mean, like, did this like, pre-teen blowjob madness continue?
What's that?
I mean, like, because I imagine...
Once you open that door, you're going to keep it open.
This woman, right, once you gave this girl, right?
Yeah. There are college students that are, like, desperate for blowjobs, and here you are at 6, you know, the blowjob fanatic, master.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering, like, did these blowjobs continue into the year 7, 8, 9, 10, 11?
I think it went on for, well, months, if not nearly a year. I mean, it wasn't like every day, but and then we got so bold. Like, of course, in the beginning, we thought.
I'm sorry.
Oh, do we have a call?
We have a caller. And then on the show, the callers always come
first.
Yes,
come first.
So, hello. Is the caller on the air? Hello, caller.
We lost the caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. If the caller is...
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Great. Fantastic. We're having just a little technical problem here with feedback, but I think our very skilled producer is going to take care of that for us.
I think it's the metal plate in my head that's causing the problems.
I had a question, kind of like a little off topic, but it was about your Forum 2000 thing. I was just kind of wondering, like, is that all really real?
It It's as real. Let's see. It's as real as you want it to be. That's an excellent question, and I would love to talk to you about it, but it's a little off topic. In fact, I won't even say it's a little off topic. It's way off topic. So maybe if you leave your email address or phone number with the producer, we can talk about it later. But I'd like to stay focused on Doug's powerful life-altering experiences for the moment. But okay. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
So, sorry, please continue. You were talking about the... like the frequency of these
people. Oh, right. So it lasted for, I don't remember, you know, a couple months or a year, and we got extremely bold after a while. In the beginning, of course, we would hide somewhere so that we wouldn't get caught because we knew it was bad. And one of my favorite hiding places was we would turn over those little baby wading pools that you put in the backyard and fill up the water and get under there. That one was funny.
I'm sorry. So who's under the wading pool? You and?
Me and my neighbor.
This is the...
The young lady.
Yes. Okay. But one time, we just sort of stood in the middle of the backyard, and her mother came out in the middle of it.
I imagine that didn't go very well.
No, that didn't go very well at all. And I only got, like, the normal lecture from my parents. You know, they said it was bad and gave me a lecture and told me a little bit more about the birds and the bees. And left it at that, but I felt really sorry for her because her father was the kind of father who really beat their kids when they did something wrong. Oof. So she got a big whooping out of it and never did it after that. So that was the end of that.
Well, so, but this touched off sort of other notions of sexuality in your head that involved boys, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, not other notions. It was really just that notion with boys. So... You know, and I just thought it would be fun to try, and I thought, you know, well, that felt good, and she's not doing it anymore, and maybe I can get somebody else to do it.
So, Hank, so was this girl, did you ever reciprocate, that is, you know, touch her private places with your hands or perform oral sex on her or anything like that?
I tried. I wasn't good at it. We actually, if we had been smarter, we probably would have ended up having intercourse. Because we tried one time, but, you know, we didn't really have the concept of lubrication, and so it didn't really work.
Also, for God's sake, you're 6 years old. There should be, like, an HBO expose about you people.
So that was sort of – that was an incident that sort of occurred by itself. And then after that, you know, there was the Corey-style years of non-sexuality.
Corey-style, you're referring to? Myself, DJ Lumbar Support.
Or any other Corey that you might like to think
of. I mean, I thought he was referring to Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman or his partner in acting, Corey Haim?
I thought Corey Haim was very sexual as a teenager. But I don't know. So there was this long sort of desert of sexual activity until you were, what, 10?
Until I was...
Until you reached the double digits.
Well, so I started, like, really... coming into thoughts about having sex and sexual things in, like, when I was 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 13, of course, I went to 7th grade in junior high and went through a frenzy of girlfriends, which was great. I think that's why I became gay, because I used up my quota of girlfriends in the 7th grade. And so that was all fine, but I was still, you know, noticing boys in the hallway and thinking about that.
Were these relationships with women sort of fulfilling in some way, or were they? Did they feel like hollow shams?
I mean, how fulfilled can a teenager be in a relationship?
Well, but we've had gay men here before who've had relations with women, and it was clear that they knew their relationship just sort of wasn't working, even while they were in it, even though when they thought that was the way things were supposed to be.
And also, let's be fair, you're in your own kind of accelerated time frame anyway, right? So
yeah,
you know, you're like those. Were they Indonesian, those 13-year-olds that are the leader of the
you mean of the Buddha, of, you know, the Dalai Lama sort of thing?
No, those two kids that are the leader of that group of rebels.
My mother's Indonesian.
I don't really,
I'm kidding.
I don't actually know if it's Indonesian. You people are so out of it. Have you seen this? I've got a picture of this kid. He's holding an AK-47. And he leads a band of rebels, and there's been only like a few. never mind. One of our callers will call in and save me from this like horrible trap I've dug for myself. My question is for you, Doug. 7 years passed between 6 and 13. Are you, like, trying to seduce the neighbor boys and it's not working? Plying them with gifts, G.I. Joes, jelly beans?
Right after my neighbor and I got caught, I tried it with, like, 2 or 3 or 4 neighbor kids. Just sort of, you know, I'll show you yours if you show me mine and stuff like that. And nobody seemed very interested in it. And so I got the message that, you know, this isn't something you ought to try.
Well, they were 6, right?
Yes.
I hate to keep coming back to that, but both I and DJ Lumbersport are sort of blown away by this.
But I figured, you know, I was curious. Why wouldn't they be curious? And so the fact that they weren't curious was sort of a hint to me that there was something different going on with me.
Do you have brothers and sisters? Is there some genetic basis for this early sexual maturation?
No, I think I stole it from my brother because, as far as I know, he had his first girlfriend when he was, like, 20.
Oh, so you borrowed his early sexuality, yeah. Right, and, like, stole it from him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's fast forward ahead, then, a little bit. We're going to leave you in the 7th grade. What's happening in high school?
Right. So in 7th grade, there was an occasional thought about a boy, but nothing much. It didn't really matter then. And, you know, I was having girlfriends, and so I was happy. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter to me, really.
So were you evaluating these thoughts about boys in some kind of moral context where you're like, I wonder if this is wrong. You know, I wonder if my parents will disapprove. I wonder, you know.
I didn't do it consciously, but subconsciously I knew that this is something that I ought not to tell anybody. So I knew somehow it was wrong, although I would never said that to myself, and I would have never told anybody. But we have another caller.
We have another caller.
Hey, DJ Lumbar Support 2000.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know that you're not hallucinating. It's Johnny and Luther 2, spelled H-T-O-O, who are the two 12-year-old twin brothers who command a ragtag guerrilla army in the rainforest of Myanmar.
Myanmar? No. So where is – since I went to American high school, I actually don't know very much geography. Where exactly is that?
Formerly Burma.
Burma, yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Actually, thank the web. I'm undereducated myself, but I know how to use a search engine.
H-T-O-O? Now, yes. Are they – do you imagine that they are sort of unusually sexually
– Well, they are Christian fundamentalists.
Hmm.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe that could go either way, right? They could either go the ascetic monk route or perhaps the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker route.
Well, David Koresh was a Christian fundamentalist in ways. And that didn't stop him from having sex with, you know, every woman over the age of 12 in his flock.
Or that Waco guy.
That was David
Koresh.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jim Jones. I don't know why I thought that.
David Koresh, who, yeah, once said he was Jesus come back to earth with a big penis, although he didn't use the word penis. I'm not sure how far to stretch the FCC regulations
here. We appreciate your discretion. I mean, there are no historical records of Jesus having a small penis, though, correct?
True. Maybe that's in the Apocrypha, you know, destroyed by the Vatican.
Is it pronounced Apocrypha, or is it pronounced Apocrypha?
Apocrypha, perhaps.
Look that up on the web and call us back.
But they are cute kids, so perhaps they're getting some.
What's the name of those band of rebels, the Hand of God, or something like that?
Something like that. God's Army.
God's Army. Okay, fantastic. Thank you for clarifying that, and God bless the web for providing us with that information. Did you have any other questions for Doug with 2 G's?
Not right now, but I'll call back later if I do.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye.
By the way,
for those of you who don't telepathically know our phone number, it's 621-9728. That's, if you can't remember numbers as well as you can remember letters, it's 621-WRCT.
You know, we really should take your cabana boy, Omar, and have him searching the web while we do the show instead of purely, you know, and add that to his duties of purely sexually servicing you, DJ Lumbersport.
Well, I guess I'd have to reduce his time in the cage,
maybe that's a price you should be willing to pay.
It could be worked out.
But back to our guest.
Yeah. Oh, where was I? I was transitioning into high school. So nothing much happened in junior high. And then in high school, not much happened until I was a junior, I guess. And then I...
Junior in high school? Hang on. So like, that's like 16, maybe? 15, 17. 16, 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
I became friends with this guy that I ran with on the track team, and we ended up becoming best friends, and I had a crush on him for a long time, and then I started really fantasizing about doing sexual things with him. And that was my first sort of gay coming out crisis with myself, because here I am having these fantasies, and then knowing by that time, of course, everybody was fully aware that being gay is not the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you know, browbeating myself for being weird and abnormal. And at the same time, you know, I was still thinking about dating the girls in my high school. And when I was a senior, I had a girlfriend for the entire year. But when I was a junior, at the end of the year, I think this friend of mine picked up somehow that mm-hmm. I had a crush on him. Because one day, out of the blue... Yeah, the track friend. He called me up and said, I don't think we ought to be friends anymore.
What?
Yeah, and so
you think it's possible that he had feelings for you and he just was ashamed to face them?
It's a good theory, but I don't think so. There's no real evidence for it.
Okay.
There's counter evidence, although one could always argue, you know, that he's really just repressed. But he's married now with two kids and quite happy. He's had many girlfriends and stuff.
Okay, so yeah, that would be pretty repressed to carry it through all the way to that stage.
Well, he's probably the biggest mall daddy down at
down in Decatur, wherever.
Well, and he grew this really hideous beard, and I just can't see him being gay and having that beard.
So. The beard, I mean, could there be a more obvious physical manifestation of his
desire to conceal his own?
Exactly. I mean, you've heard of the term beard in the gay vernacular as being someone who helps you hide your true identity.
Yes. Well, maybe he should be your next guest on Sex Talk.
Well, it is. I mean, my powerful psychological insights are both a blessing and a curse. But I have a question. That something struck me. A little red flag came up when you were talking about your feelings for your little track friend, which, as you said, you kept fantasizing about doing sexual things with him. And I was wondering if there was a corresponding romantic or emotional level, like, aspect to it. Did you just want to, like...
Oh, no, certainly there was an emotional aspect, and I was getting a lot of what I wanted emotionally out of being best friends with him. We spent, you know, lots of time together. When his parents went away one weekend, and so I stayed over at his house the whole weekend, and we did things together. And so, like, emotionally, it was great, and it was, you know, the friend that I was looking for, and I wanted to take it to the next level. So emotionally, I think it was a fairly healthy, if maybe just a slightly too intense friendship.
So when you say, so if you're having sex at 6, by 17, when you start talking about doing things together, you're probably, like, you know, inventing new forms of steel or, like...
No. So that's the sad thing.
Finding a unified theory of physics or whatever.
We did, you know, I did blowjobs at 6. 7th grade was all about kissing and feeling budding breasts. And then there was nothing until my senior year when I started dating this girl for the whole year. And actually, she was reticent to do much as well. So as early as I may have started, I didn't really have any experience, so to speak.
But when you examine the situation honestly, do you think that there were clues that you were giving your friend? I mean, I'm not talking about, like, telepathic subconscious clues, but did you ever, like, have inappropriate, so-called inappropriate touching, or were you ever kind of hinting around, or were you playing it pretty cool?
No, I flatter myself in saying this, but I think that I was probably one of the more successful closet cases in the world. I don't think anybody has suspected me of being gay who I didn't, like, want to know. And if they have, you know, they've never told me, but I never heard rumors. Nobody ever asked me. And my current best friend, when I finally came out to him about 5 months ago, didn't believe me. And, like, we sort of discussed it for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and he wouldn't believe me. He thought I was joking, because my boyfriend was sitting right there, and he and his wife always made it a point to ask me about my love life every time they saw me. And he had come to Pittsburgh to visit, and so we were sitting at dinner, and, you know, other conversation finally tailed off. And he said, so I have to ask you, you know, the requisite questions. And I said, oh, what requisite questions are those? And he said, well, you know, and looked at me and sort of grinned. And I said, oh, how's my love life? And he said, yeah, those questions. He said, Kim would kill me, his wife, would kill me if I came home without getting answers to those. And so I reached over and put my hand on the shoulder of my boyfriend and said, well, you know, here's my sex life.
Sexy.
And my boyfriend has this smile that is devious. Now, it's just his normal smile, but when he does it and people who don't know him look at him, it looks devious. So this friend of mine thought that we were joking.
I can verify that. Your boyfriend is pretty sly.
I mean, devious like Snidely Whiplash devious? Or
more like Natasha and Boris devious.
Scheming. And always when he smiles, you think he's scheming.
Okay.
So he didn't believe me, and the only reason he finally believed me is because we went to a party that was predominantly gay after dinner. So then he believed me. So, no, I don't think there was...
You and your so-called best friend have trust issues.
What's that?
You and your so-called friend have trust issues. I mean, you tell him something very important to you and he doesn't believe you. What if you were like, help me, I'm on fire, you know? I'm unable to breathe, please call 911.
No, so he...
This might be important.
I would certainly expect that if I asked him to do something for me, regardless of whether he believed me, he would help. So if I said, you know...
My electrolytes are out of balance.
If I had called him on the phone, said, oh, my God, I'm gay. I can't deal with it. I'm going to kill myself. Come to Pittsburgh and help me deal with this. He'd say, oh, I don't believe you're gay. But, you know, he'd jump in the car right away. Mm. So that speculation is entirely false.
Well, hey, can we climb back into the Wayback Machine?
Certainly.
And so now you're graduated from high school.
Yes.
You're into college. Let's zoom up to your first actual homosexual experience.
It wasn't in college. It wasn't actually, let's see, so.
That must have been agonizing with all those, like, confused sexually, you know, confused young men with their sexual peak.
So, my junior year, I had this best friend who I had a crush on. I went through the big crisis then. But then my senior year, I had a girlfriend. And so, you know, my mind was off boys at that time and on girls.
And when you say girlfriend, do you mean, like, you know, is this sort of like the Crying Game style girlfriend?
No, she was definitely a she.
And so are you having sex with her? And you know, does it? Oh, so you're like 30% bi. You're not having sex with her.
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have sex till I was 21.
Okay. What are you looking at me for? I didn't have sex till I was like 23 or 25 or something.
Because you're the host.
Well, I don't know if you count blowjobs as sex, but I didn't have intercourse with a woman until I was 20.
No, but that's still pretty damn impressive.
I never really got very far with my senior girlfriend.
I mean, are these women comfortable with that, or are they, like, freaking out? I mean, what, do they expect sex, or are they sort of glad that you're not – I mean, some people just aren't – you know, category A of girlfriend would just rather not have sex. Category B wants it.
That was her. I tried.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she wouldn't. What are the bases? I don't think I ever got to second base with her, except maybe one night, and it didn't last very long. So.
Game was rained
out. And that's, I guess that's another clue, is that I wasn't all that disappointed about the lack of progress in that arena. Although that's a small clue. So senior year was fine. Then I graduate and go to college. I totally fell in love with this woman that I met my freshman year. But at the time, she was dating somebody from her hometown. Then she broke up with him and immediately started dating my roommate. And here I am thinking I'll be a nice guy, right? Because being a nice guy is the way you get girls. That's what I told myself back then. I don't believe it anymore. So I'm being a nice guy. I'm just sort of sitting back.
You know how you get girls. I'm sorry to interrupt. The way you get girls is to be the fabulously attractive gay talk show host of a gay sex talk show. Not a gay sex talk show, although it seems that way sometimes.
Sorry. Well, now you're inviting competition.
Bring it on, baby. I'm sorry. So there's this woman you fell in love with, hometown, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, so that's a completely different story. But there's basically this two-year-long love affair that amounted to nothing, in which she ended up marrying my other roommate, which was kind of painful.
Sounds like she has issues, like she was dating around you.
Maybe. Another clue, well, freshman year, I had this, I don't know, my gayness came rushing back to me one day and, like, overwhelmed me. And so I had another gay crisis. Mm-hmm. And my physical reaction to it was to just sort of lay on the floor of my dorm room and stare at the ceiling. And I lived sort of in a suite with three other people. And they were coming in and out, and this girl was that I was in love with was coming in and out. All these people were coming in and out. And, you know, they thought I was just being weird laying there on the floor, but this girl came over.
And you were.
I was. Came over and asked me what was wrong, and I looked at her, and in my head the words went through, and, you know, they were, "I'm gay." Of course, I couldn't say that, and so I just looked at her, and I didn't say anything.
Say, "I'm okay. I'm o-gay."
Try to slide it by the radar.
I didn't think it was okay then, which was why I was having the crisis. Another clue was that the freshman year in college, I was infatuated with somebody who lived in the dorm. And we didn't have all that much in common, but yet I still found excuses to, like, go spend, you know, an hour in his room talking about whatever, just so I could stare at his face and imagine what he looked like with his shirt off. So then I'm becoming sort of more sure of what's going on, but still not ready to accept it. So I basically repressed it. But at that point, I just sort of stopped dating women or stopped even trying. Well, except one. So I had a girlfriend the summer I was 21, and she's the one that I finally had sex with. But that didn't really work out, and I didn't feel bad about it because deep down I think I knew what was going to happen eventually, even though I wasn't admitting it. And so I went on not admitting it until I was 27.
So you didn't have any dating activity from 21 to 27 then?
No, I had a good friend of mine that I had known when I was in college came to visit me one summer when I was working in Portland, and we ended up having a steamy sort of two-month-long love affair that never went anywhere because she lived in Colorado and I had just moved to Pittsburgh because that's when I started here at Carnegie Mellon. So I dated her, and I actually would have thought about asking her to marry me if we had been in the same city and been able to date. But we weren't, and I didn't feel bad about it because, as I've said already again, I sort of knew what was coming even though I wouldn't admit it to myself. So we ended up breaking up because neither of us was ready to move, you know, across the country to be in the same city.
So now the scene is set. You know, you're 27, you're in Pittsburgh, ready to live life to its gay fullest, right?
And ironically, I just want to make the observation that, you know, unlike other people, you've had, like, you don't even want girlfriends, and you've had, like, a dozen, right? And,
like, no, that's not true. I do want girlfriends. And even
you're getting them. My point is that, like, so many people who are 100% heterosexual don't get girlfriends, even though they badly want them. And here you are.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
I guess. I never felt rich, though, because all the friends I knew who were straight were getting more girlfriends than me, so.
You come from, like, some magic, like, girlfriend land where... I mean, is it not the more common case that girlfriends are rare? I mean, you would know this, Lance, since your own life has been so lonely. And
yes, in
tragic.
My experience, girlfriends are very rare.
I think they get rarer as you get older. Certainly in junior high school, you know, all it took was bumping into a girl and saying, "Oh, hi, will you go with me?" And then she says yes, and now you're going
maybe
out.
Maybe that worked for you cool kids.
I was not one of the cool kids.
Well, maybe, but I mean, that's almost part of the definite. I mean, hardly anyone I knew, hardly any of my real friends dated in high school. There were people that I knew that were cool. I mean, in junior high, there were people that I knew that were cool that dated in junior high, but.
So I never saw it that way, although in retrospect, I guess I could be convinced that maybe I was, like, on the cusp of cool and geek.
Well, or again, you came from the magical land of girlfriends, right? That's maybe. Another possibility.
Maybe. There were 70% women in my city. No, I'm kidding.
My city of Amazonia.
That's right. So where were we?
You were.
Oh, right.
We're at the present. Well, yes. We're
we're almost at
Pittsburgh.
The present. Yep. So here I am in Pittsburgh, so it was when I was 27, and for the life of me now, I can't do the math and figure out what year that was. Must have been 95.
Did I mean Amazon? Was that where is that? What's that island that Wonder Woman came from? That's all women.
I don't remember.
I don't know either.
If our caller will look that up for us. I don't know why Amazon isn't right, or is it? There's some kind of island that Wonder Woman came from, everyone's a woman, and they're all really, they're all like athlete warriors.
I don't think it
really
was
strong.
Amazon.
Why did I don't, I'm confusing something else.
Amazon is the big one-breasted warriors.
So please call or call back 621-9728 and clarify that little factual error for me. I'm sorry, proceed.
Right, so when I was 27, I finally said, okay, I'm gay. Because prior to that, I had spent a couple months fantasizing about the one and only gay man that I knew at that point. And
Paul Lind.
No.
Charles Nelson Reilly? Who are we talking about here?
No. Oh, I don't know if I should name
him. Liberace?
You know him, actually.
Oh.
It's not you, is it?
No, it's not you. You were the second.
No need to be coy, doctor.
You were the second gay man that I knew.
Oh, now I'm getting interested. So, so you arrived in Pittsburgh. I'm sorry.
But you still had no explicitly homosexual experiences, sexual experiences, right?
Right.
So, okay. Or even implicitly.
Oh, I totally forgot. Oh, my God.
My 300 other girlfriends.
No, this is great. And I don't know why I forgot this, because this is like the first story I tell anybody when I'm talking about coming out. Mm. But a friend of mine had come to visit from out of town for 2 or 3 weeks when I was a senior, when I was dating this girl from my high school. And he came to visit with a female friend of his, and they stayed at my house. So since she was the only girl, my mom put her in my bedroom so she could sleep in the bed alone and sort of have her privacy. And she put me and this friend of mine on the pull-out couch.
Ooh, little did she know.
Exactly.
Some people can be so blind.
I know. So we ended up fooling
just like,
around.
Just like leaving the heroin and the needles right out there. Wait, fooling around? What fooling around? This guy's gay? You're gay? What's happening here?
No, so...
Is his fiance?
What? No, this is just a friend of his.
Okay.
I was 17 at the time, and I think he was, like, 15 or 16. And so we would just sort of end up touching each other and playing with each other at night, which was all fine and dandy, and then we would absolutely not talk about it or mention it or imply or infer anything about it during the day. Mm. And of course I had my girlfriend, so it was easy for me to just pretend it was something that went on at night and didn't really
happen. Seems like she'd be happy that some of the heat had been taken off of her, right?
So no problems with the blue balls in this relationship. So how do you, who makes the first move in a situation like that? How did that happen? Like you're lying there in bed. Just do the sort of
I think my theory is this. He slept with his – this is going to sound really bad, but he slept with his dog at home, like in the bed. And so he was
I'm not sure I like where this is going.
He was used to cuddling up to the warm thing that was in bed with him.
I see.
And so we would be sleeping in the same bed, and, you know, we would start sleeping apart and, you know – no big deal. But then during the night, eventually, he would always, like for the first 3 nights, he would end up scooting over and sleeping right next to me.
And if he was sleeping with a dog, he's also used to the warm thing licking him up and down.
Right? I don't know about that. I didn't try. So the first 3 nights or 2 nights, I like pushed him away and like woke him up and said, hey, get on your side of the bed. Mm. But he kept doing it. And so then I said, well, okay. So I would just lay there for a while, and
I was gonna say you could start like deliberately leaving the sort of flea comb out by the bed and see if it gets the hint.
So I just started letting him sleep next to me and didn't think anything or didn't do anything about it.
This was an exciting nights 1, 2, or 3. You were like, wow, this man who I'm attracted to is cuddling up to me.
It was exciting, but, you know...
And yet, ironically...
So why did you push him away, then? Did you think that was the... Even though you sort of wanted to continue, did you think that was the appropriate behavior, or was it...
Yeah, of course, okay. Because if he woke up and found himself sitting next to me, then... Or sleeping next to me, then, of course, he would have moved away, too. And so it was just my duty to...
Oh, really?
To protect him from feeling bad about the situation. Mm-hmm. But when pushing him away didn't do anything, then I said, okay, fine. So then
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to make a crude, inappropriate joke, but I'll let you.
Please do.
No. The moment is lost.
Okay. I guess it is. So then I started, you know, timidly venturing to see what I could touch. You know, first I would, you know, touch his arm and see if he moved away or whatever. I don't even remember. But it ended up with me making the first move, and he didn't push me away or anything. And
what seemed precisely receptive. Was that first move, though?
I touched his penis.
Which was like, you know, the hardness of forged tungsten at this point?
No, it wasn't.
Help me out here. Magnesium?
No. Steel, I mean.
Hardened steel.
Yeah, hardened
steel. I was trying to be a little bit exotic. But proceed.
You could do talonite.
I guess it was the hardness of, you know, molten gold.
Actually, the really hard things are all ceramics. They're all high-tech ceramics. So it was limp and flaccid and not.
Yes.
But you changed that quickly.
I don't know how quickly it was, but on some time scale it was quickly, yeah. And it just went from there. And so I think I don't think he was particularly.
We're very open on this show, but the three words we don't allow ever on this program is just went from there.
Well, I was getting to the details of that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were glossing
over
that.
When you interrupted me. But I don't think he was. I don't think he had any interest in taking any initiative. Mm. And so, you know, I was at the stage where, all right, this is fun. I like doing this. But I'm not going to get in a position where he can, you know, accuse me of something that he didn't do. So I would, you know, take the tiniest step forward, and then I would sort of make him do the same thing or try and get him to do the same thing.
Really?
How would you do that?
I don't remember, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that, you know, it was, you know, if I'm speculating because I don't really remember, but, you know, if I put my hand on his, you know, on his stomach inside his shirt, you know, then I would, you know, make him put his hand on my stomach inside my shirt.
Using the telepathy that you swore to the elders that you would not use in this time frame. Well, I'm just, what I'm ironically suggesting is, like, how can you make somebody put his hand on your shirt and just sit there and wait? I mean, do you, like, clear your throat impatiently?
I would just
turn up the voltage on the electrodes.
Lean over and whisper and say, your turn.
Oh, well, that works as well.
No, I didn't say that. But, you know, I don't really know. Like I said, I don't remember that very much.
But I
wouldn't be surprised if I, like, took his hand and put it on my stomach or something.
I have a quick question, which is, so is there a class of men who will allow men to touch them sexually but won't touch them back? Is that a well-known phenomenon in the gay world? I don't have any idea.
I suppose there is. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never experienced it. And certainly at a stage in my life, I would have been one of those, certainly. But I think I fall into a different class.
Yeah. Anyways, we're actually sort of a little bit behind schedule, so...
Yes, we are.
Let's ramp up to the present.
Right. So, after I spent a couple months fantasizing about the first gay man that I ever met, I bought myself a journal, and the first thing I wrote in it was, I'm gay. And I think that was the real turning point for me is, you know, I had written it down, and now I couldn't repress it anymore. Because I'd written in pen.
And not an entrance sketch where you could easily erase.
That's right. And I don't recycle, and I keep everything. I'm a pack rat. So I knew this was going to be like a permanent, indelible record for the future so that I couldn't deny it anymore.
And you could have always written, just kidding, after it, right? But
I could have, but it was there, right? So
yeah, true.
And it wasn't really, you know, it was for my own benefit. And I used the journal, actually, as my therapist through the whole process of coming out. And soon after that, I told our esteemed co-host is the third gay person I knew, because the second gay person I knew was a bisexual woman.
I know who that is, too.
And you know who that is, yes. And so I told her one day when we were walking home, I came out to her. And I was totally disappointed in her reaction. She just looked at me and sort of didn't know what to say, because she didn't know whether the right reaction was to say, oh, congratulations, or, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Because she didn't know how you were taking it, or because she has no...
She didn't know how I was taking it, and she didn't want to...
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, but because of her own confusion, was that kind of traumatic for you? Because you were kind of seeking...
No, I was disappointed. I was hoping she'd say, really, you are? I have five people I want to set you up with. Mm. But she didn't say anything like that. I was on my own. was kind of disappointed.
It's sort of customary on the show for me to actually ask the following question, which is, what were your feelings, what were your sexual feelings toward me, DJ Lumbar Support? Because, after all, you knew I was gay. You knew I was gay. You had heard this. Yet, I didn't know you were gay, so you had the upper hand, so to speak.
Yes, I did.
Was I a constant part of your masturbatory fantasies? Was I not even on your radar? Were you going for man number one or possibly bisexual woman number two instead?
Do you fantasize about him with C. Thomas Howell's head pasted onto his body?
You were not part of my fantasies at all. I'm sorry.
See, now, like, why is that? Like, what is number guy number one got that I haven't got? And I've seen him naked, so I know it can't be, like, a huge 9-inch penis.
Perhaps he was intimidated by your, you know, verbal fortitude.
An elite athlete.
I think, actually, and this is a sort of, in retrospect, a very homophobic thing to say, but he wasn't publicly gay, so to speak. I mean, he was totally out, and he was totally comfortable with it, but I didn't feel like I was being, I don't know, I didn't feel uncomfortable being around him in the sense that he was being too gay.
Well, that would imply that you were uncomfortable being around our host here because he was acting too gay.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's so ironic and tragic because, like, I know who this number one guy is, and, like, you know, you put the two of us next to each other, and you peg him as gay much sooner than you peg me as gay. People, I have kind of an arousing ambiguity about me that people find powerfully sexual.
I don't know. I found it easy to talk to him, and that made a lot of difference to me because, you know, here I am going through all these things. But I think it was the fact that I identified with him, and I saw a lot of myself in him. And for me, the coming out process was the process of convincing myself that this wasn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was finding gay people that I identified with, mm-hmm. because I needed to convince myself, you know, that I could still be who I thought I was and be gay. Because for a long time, like in high school, I thought, God, if I come out as gay, then I have to be effeminate, you know, I have to dress weird, I have to comb my hair differently, and I have to let people pick on me.
Perhaps in the future there will be a company that will provide us with gay clones of ourselves so we can all see what we would be like.
So I'm wondering if you're telling – was there ever a point – and this is kind of a transitionary kind of stage for a lot of people when you were having these gay feelings, were you like, well, this is my sort of experimental stage, so I'm going to ride the gay roller coaster for a while, but, you know, I'm eventually going to get sick of it and return to the sort of straight heterodoxy?
Oh, I was hoping you'd say straight Ferris wheel.
I think there was. In the beginning, there was sort of a hope that it would be a phase. And I had to talk myself out of that. And there was – I actually – 2 or 3 times – I had every intention of breaking up with my boyfriend so that I could start dating women again. And I realized that what I was doing was running away from the rest of the coming out process. And so I didn't do it because I knew really it was the wrong thing to do. But I certainly came very close a couple of times to doing that.
And the primary sort of central reason for this breakup was not incompatibilities between you and him, but actually literally because this was the wrong sexual orientation for you, or so you thought.
Or so I tried to convince myself.
Right. Interesting. So let me ask sort of a related question, which is, earlier in the show you said you consider yourself 70-30 bisexual.
Yes.
Maybe this is a personal question, but do you consider this a long-term relationship with your partner, perhaps even a lifetime relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, do you intend on expressing the straight 30%?
Yeah, actually, we have an open relationship, or at least we have the option of it. And part of that is because of...
If you told me that earlier, I could have had you stripping on the show.
Part of that is because of my bisexuality. But I find it ironic in a sense that, you know, now that I'm completely open with my sexuality and in a committed relationship with a man... Even though I have the option of having sex with women, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Mm. Because And I may be totally stereotyping here, and I hope I am, actually, but I don't think that it's nearly as easy to get a woman into bed for casual sex as it would have to be in my case, as it is if I were a straight man trying to get a gay man.
Interesting. Well, God knows it's not easy for me.
Yes.
Well, God knows it is easy for me, but that's because I'm an international radio celebrity.
Shouldn't some of that have worn off on me by now? Apparently not.
I think he acts as a sponge, a sexuality sink. Mm.
Interesting. So, and actually, in our final, we have about 60 seconds remaining, and in our final minute, this is another Church Announcement show, we ask you to make a psychic prediction about the future. And using your powers, can you predict which of the current presidential candidates, Bush, McCain, with their own
story? Gore and Bradley. And Keyes.
Is hiding the most homosexual experiences in his past?
Oh, I can predict that?
That's not really a prediction.
I need to commune with the presidential aura which follows me around. It has to be Gore.
Interesting. Is that because of the tattoo on his ass, or what makes you think so?
It's because of the way he combs his hair.
Well, Doug, with 2 G's, we're out of time. I want to remind our viewers that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you. Please come
again.
Thank you all for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
And someone look up that Wonder Woman reference for me. Tune in every week, Tuesdays, 11 p.m., for Sex Talk.